Welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, courageously expanding love with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Has the way that love has arisen in you seemed out of place or even taboo? My mission is to expand the conversation of love in the world. Is it possible to have deep, loving, healthy relationships? Have you ever been curious about having more than one relationship or partner at a time? Get ready to transform in love. Be courageous and set yourself free. In this show, we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be, but never thought were possible. I shed light on things that are not always talked about with conversations about expanding love. The Elizabeth Cunningham Show starts now. All right. Welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, courageously expanding in love. And my name is Elizabeth Cunningham, and I'm so honored and grateful to be with you all here today on the Transformation Network. For those of you who don't know what time or space you're in, we are at 3 p.m. Pacific time, which is where we're at every single week to have conversations about love, relationships, sex, and really how can we expand even more and deeper into love. And today I am so excited to have our guest on, and we are going to be talking about one of my favorite topics ever of all time, which is compersion, which is a real word. For those of you who are like, whenever I say that word, there's always someone who's like, is that a real word? And I'm like, yes, it is a real word. And so I'm going to introduce our guest. And I'm so sorry. I've actually just realized that I've only read your name ever before, and I've never actually said it out loud. So Dr. Marie Thuyn.
Yes, perfect. You got it.
What? Yes. I am epic. Okay. Yes. So Dr. Marie Thuyn is the founder of Love Insight, a mindful dating coaching practice where she helps people of all ages, genders, sexual and relationship orientations navigate the path of intimate love. Her coaching is affirming of non-traditional relationship structures and diversity in a growth-oriented container. Marie completed her doctoral research on the topic of compersion, amazing, in consensual non-monogamous individuals at the California Institute of Integral Studies in San Francisco. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. This is an honor from my end as well. I just love your show and I love talking about this. So this is fun.
Win, win, win.
Yes.
Win, win, win. So perfect. Okay. So I know the question on everyone's mind is, what is compersion? What is this thing we're talking about today?
Well, compersion is at the basis empathic joy. It's the idea that you can share somebody else's joy rather than, you know, feel separate from it. So it's the idea that, oh, I'm happy when you're happy. And the word compersion itself was born in the context of consensual non-monogamy. And in that context, it means I'm happy when you're happy with somebody else. So it's the empathic joy we feel towards our partners or partners' partners or metamors when they're enjoying love together in a context that does not necessarily benefit us directly. I mean, oftentimes it does. There are some benefits and gratitude for that, but it doesn't have to. It's just really the idea of shared joy.
That's beautiful. And I think that for people who have experienced compersion, that's such a beautiful definition. Empathic joy for others. Like, huh, I'd never actually heard it characterized in that specific way before, and that really hit me.
Yeah, awesome. That's really beautiful. And I think for some people, it's like, it's hard to imagine, like, it's hard to imagine that you could feel happy for your partner, like with another person, like experiencing joy with another person. I think it's really difficult for a lot of people to kind of wrap your mind around if you've never experienced that before, or if, you know, consensual non-monogamy is like new to you, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many other circumstances in life where we do naturally experience empathic joy, such as, you know, my brother is getting a really great promotion at work, or my kid is learning how to walk and I see the smile on their face and the ecstatic gestures. So there's situations, there's plenty of situations where we're just not really threatened, or we don't have much fear to the subject at hand. So we do easily experience compersion. So It can be good to remind ourselves, like, okay, like, it's a natural phenomenon to feel empathic joy, but it's also interesting to notice the situations where we don't experience it and then ask why. Is it, you know, some of my needs are not getting fulfilled, or is it an idea that I shouldn't experience it, et cetera, et cetera. Like, to kind of use that ability to have compersion as a flashlight into our minds and our hearts.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, definitely. And like being able to turn it around in that way where it's like, okay, why am I not, you know, experiencing compersion in this particular situation when I can, and I do in other situations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really beautiful. Well, I want to dive a little bit deeper into, you know, why did you decide to, I mean, you have a whole doctoral degree in this, you know, why did you decide to study compersion? You know, why is it so important?
Yeah, great question. I've always been super fascinated with the ways that people construct their relationships in general, their intimate relationships, and why. Knowing that there are some really normative paths of doing that, there's traditional ways and templates that a lot of people simply fall into because it's comfortable, because it's easy, there is already a map there, or maybe because of social pressure. Mm-hmm. And coercion in some instances as well. And yet there's also many people who don't go into those templates and just decide to really design their relationships from a place of intentionality and freedom. And in many cases, that means being consensually non-monogamous. And I wanted to know what that was about, because monogamy never felt comfortable to me. It never felt like the way I wanted to live my life. So it came from a place of personal pain of feeling like, wow, like, why do I have to feel like I'm the weirdo and people would judge me because of this? Like, how is it that as a society, we just really normatize and prioritize one form of relationship? And then when I learned about the word compersion, I just, like, my mind exploded and it felt like, oh, this is the symbol of the different paradigm that I want to live in. This is the idea that love doesn't have to be finite, and that you can feel really connected with somebody else's love and joy and good emotions rather than feeling separate from it. And that also is kind of a marker of really healthy non-monogamy. So I just decided to investigate it because it felt so important as a, you know, next level paradigm marker. And also for me and my life, like, how do I navigate my relationships?
Yeah. And I think that for a lot of us who work in this field of relationships, and specifically like non-traditional or non-monogamous relationships, that it does come from that source of like pain, you know, where it's like, I don't want anybody else to feel as terrible as I did about this, you know, or as weird or as ostracized or as put down or shut aside or whatever. Like, I don't want anybody to feel this way because I think what I'm feeling is really natural and really healthy. And so how do I, you know, solve this problem for myself, but also so beautifully, you know, help other people solve this as well, and to completely normalize, you know, this conversation of, yeah, like, how, like love is expansive, you know, love is not this finite source, specifically romantic and intimate love, you know, is not this finite thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So being able to expand on that and to delve, you know, so deeply. And I want to, when we're going to take a break here pretty soon, kind of want to talk more about like the roots of, you know, where this word compersion, you know, came from, but, and also like delve deeper. I'm so curious as to like more of like the findings of your research. I'm like, you mm-hmm. full in, like studied this. I'm so curious. And so that's kind of like what we're going to talk about in coming up next, because yeah, when I say the word compersion to people are like, that's not a real word. And I'm like, actually it is. So I do want to like delve even deeper into this like beautiful topic. So we are going to take a really quick break. And then when we come back, we're just going to get even deeper, even juicier into it. Beautiful. All right. So we will be right back.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Are you ready for the real results you want? Don't miss the new show. Why wait? Look better, feel better, be your best from the inside out with me, Georgette LePage. Join Dr. Pat Basile and me monthly to tackle topics that are often seen as roadblocks to weight loss. Each discussion offers you practical solutions for your transformational changes. Find out more about show dates and times or connect with me directly at georgettelepage.com.
Are you having difficulty feeling at home in your own home? Join Annette Rigolo and Dr. Pat in Enlightened Environments, Optimizing from the Outside In, as they present a deep dive into the various vibrations of the Earth, along with man-made energies that impact our lives. Using the Diamond Dowsing Method, we will utilize specific vibrations to elevate our own homes to support us and expand us with their energy. Join us every third Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to make your home, home.
We are courageously expanding love on my new show, The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join me and my guests where we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Visit ElizabethAnnCunningham.com and subscribe.
Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
All right, right. Welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, where we are courageously expanding in love. And today we are talking to Dr. Marie Thuynn, and we are talking about compersion. And in our first, even just like how it like rolls off of your tongue is just so delicious, you know, compersion. And in the first segment, we talked about, you know, what is compersion? And it's this empathetic feeling for others. Oh my gosh, I love that. And so now in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about where did the word compersion come from and more about your research. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Lovely. Yeah. So the word compersion was invented, or, you know, it came from a non-monogamous community called Carista in the late 80s in San Francisco. And they were practicing non-monogamy within the intentional community. And they realized that they were experiencing this thing that now we would call compersion, but they didn't have a word for it. So they actually, the story goes, they created an alphabet board that they would sometimes use to come up with answers. So a divination tool, a little bit like a Ouija board. And they asked for a word, and compersion is what came up. So it became common in the poly community to use the word compersion. And unfortunately, it's still not in the dictionary. Mm-hmm. I've actually emailed the Merriam-Webster editors a couple times over the last few years to ask them to include compersion, also mononormativity, which is the assumption that monogamy is the only and superior way of relating, into the dictionary. And they said that it was not yet used enough. So hopefully we'll see that today in the next few years where it's actually included in the mainstream dictionaries. But right now it is actually a topic of research. There's a few other researchers who are starting to study that. So I'm confident we'll get there.
I think so too. I mean, there was a point in time where texting wasn't in the dictionary, and now texting is in the dictionary because everyone is texting.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, I have no doubt that eventually compersion will be in the dictionary. And I think that that's so cool that you have taken the time to, and of course, like, that makes total sense. So like, this is your field of study, you know, this is where you got your, you know, your doctoral. And so that makes total sense that you would email them. But thank you. Thank you for, on behalf of the non-monogamous community, thank you for emailing Merriam and Webster.
Of course. I mean, you know, another reason why I studied compersion is just knowing that the language we have at our disposal really does influence the emotions that we can and often do feel. And when there's a word like that, that's just like popularized, like oftentimes I can see the light bulb moment in people when I explain what compersion is, and they'll be like, oh yes, I actually know what that is. I've been experiencing it, but I didn't have a word for it. So I always thought it was weird, or, you know, it's easier to own your experience of something and actually invite more of it when you just know the word.
Yeah. And I think that that's so, and I don't want to like go off on too much of a tangent with this, but it is so affirming to have a word for your experience. Like, I remember the first time that I heard the word polyamory was so affirming for me and like my own experience. And then the first time I heard the word compersion, you know, same thing. And so like, as these terms, you know, get, you know, broader and like more normalized, it really, you're exactly right. You know, it really does affirm how you already feel about something, but then it just, you know, captures it. And when it's a word, you also know that other people are experiencing that too. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not just that your experience is captured, but it's like, oh, this is such a normal feeling that other people, that there's a word for it. And so I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. Well, I don't want to geek out too much about linguistics, but we totally could.
Yes.
So what were some of your findings in studying compersion? Like, tell us a little bit more about that.
So the main finding was what is the grouping of factors that will promote compersion and what is the group of factors that will hinder compersion. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to talk about that, but maybe beforehand, a couple of interesting facts that I found in my research that might help listeners like feel more comfortable with the topic, because oftentimes people make assumptions. There's a lot of myths around compersion that also got debunked in my research. So fun fact, I mean, a lot of people will already know that, but it's that you can experience compersion and often do experience compersion at the same exact time that you experience jealousy. So I've had a lot of people tell me like, oh, I feel like I'm not poly enough because I still experience jealousy and I don't experience compersion all the time. And really, it's probably unrealistic to think you could just experience compersion and no jealousy. So it's important to know we can experience both at the same time or within the same relationship, and it's totally healthy, and it's not an expectation that you should experience compersion all the time, because the circumstances and the context don't always lend themselves to it. And one more interesting fact or myth is that unlike the idea that compersion would be an on or off switch, like you either have it or you don't, it's very much fluid and on a spectrum. So you might be able to have like an attitude of compersion that, you know, allows you to be happy for your partners or a relationship without feeling an embodied, like, yes, I'm so excited about this and I want to hear every detail.
Right.
So there's a spectrum there, and there's no right or wrong way to do it.
Right. Well, and it's like any other emotion, right? Where it's just like, you know, like happiness, you know, you're not expected to be happy all of the time. Like everyone knows that that's completely unrealistic, and you're not going to go throughout life without feeling sadness. And if anybody has ever experienced grief, you know that you can be happy and tremendously sad at the same time. Right. And so I think that kind of what we did with like the other relationships, where it's like, if you map it onto other emotional experiences, you can start to see like how dynamic, you know, it can be. And there's not like a right way to feel, to feel compersion. Right.
Exactly. That's a really good analogy. And, you know, you don't need to have this embodied high of compersion in order to have a good relationship. That's the other thing is, you know, like it's not a requirement. I think what I'm finding is to have a compersive attitude and to have a positive outlook towards your partners or a relationship is kind of a basic requirement to having great non-monogamous relationships, but you don't need to have that kind of intoxicating high. So that's an important thing to also premise everything else with, because you don't want to use compersion as a stick to beat yourself with of like, oh, I'm not experiencing enough, therefore I'm not good enough. Like, no.
Not how it works. No.
So now, if you want, I can move into like, what are those factors that do promote compersion?
Absolutely. I'm ready for it.
Yeah. So that's really the meat of my research. So there's three different categories. One is the individual factors, one is the relational factors, and the other one is the social factors that promote compersion. And within the individual factors, there's the two factors. One is the ideological framework that you have around your orientation or your identity as non-monogamous. So there's a lot of people who might have been dragged into non-monogamy from a partner, and they've not really decided to adopt that for themselves. And it's really important to know that you've chosen this path and this lifestyle and this relationship style before you can experience compersion, because when you are really ideologically behind the values of non-monogamy, like really not wanting to let jealousy be something that you feel entitled to, and you're not questioning it, you know, it's kind of like an attitude towards jealousy and towards relationships that will really change the extent to which you can experience compersion.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah. And one of the things that I say is like, I don't say it in those exact words, but it's like knowing why you're doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I also heard like really choosing what you're doing as well. So it's like knowing why you're doing what you're doing and really choosing what you're doing. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Continue. Yeah. Okay. So individual, mm-hmm. relational, and social.
Right. And the second individual factor is self-confident and healthy self-esteem as self-care. So your healthy, secure relationship within yourself. Mm. And that can come as feeling like you're not such a prey to comparison, negative comparison, like, or insecurity in terms of feeling less than. So if you have secure attachment within, you know that you have your own back. And even if, you know, your partner were to go and be with somebody else and God forbid, you know, leave you, you'd still be okay. It wouldn't be the end of you. So having a certain level of security and confidence inside of yourself. And also self-care comes in as have you slept enough? Have you eaten well? You know, are you in a good state physiologically? And that will also influence the outcome of different situations to whether you're going to experience compersion or jealousy.
Yeah.
So that was the second factor in the individual category. Then there's the relational factors.
Beautiful. And we're going to, we're just going to keep rolling with this. We're going to skip our break here. So everyone who's like used to watching the show, we usually have a midway break, but like we're on a roll. So like, keep going, go for it.
Okay, cool. Break afterwards. So the next one is security and trust within your relationship. So in order to feel compersion for your partner, you'll have to feel a level of security and trust and great communication between you and that partner. Because if you don't, then you might end up feeling excluded from their other relationship life rather than included. Compersion is very much about feeling included, feeling like you can be part of, because really it's about empathy. So if your relationship is in trouble, it might not be a fertile terrain for compersion. Then comes the relationship towards the metamorphs or your partner's other partner. Mm. If you really like them, you think they're good for your partner, they overall are bringing a lot of benefits to your partner's life and therefore maybe to your life, there's going to be a lot more compersion possible.
Mm.
And piggybacking on that, the third relational factor is the perception of benefits from your partner's other relationships. So do you feel like your partner's other relationships are benefiting you in terms of enriching your life, whether it's socially, sexually, emotionally? Do you feel like maybe you're getting a better version of your partner by virtue of their other relationships? Do you feel relief maybe that you don't have to fulfill all of your partner's needs because they have these other relationships? All of these benefits will also translate into conversion.
Yeah. And I guess the question that arises from all of that is like, do you need to have all of that in order? You know, like I can hear people asking me, so do I need to have like all of that in order and solidified and like completed before I see other people, before we can have a relationship that works? You know, that's like the question that I hear from that.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. Mm-hmm. And the quick answer is no, you don't need everything to be perfect and in place. But it's more of a scale thing. You know, the more you have in place, the more of these factors you have on your side, then the more likely you are to feel compersion.
Right.
So it's not a necessity. It's just like, okay, almost like a point system. Like if you could get like a point for each one of those factors that you can say like, yep, actually I'm doing really good on that. It just increases your chances versus, you know, like it's also a good mirror to look at those factors and look at, oh, here's the one where I feel like I could be doing better, where maybe I can invest more resources, more work, more attention, because that might be the bottleneck.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's beautiful. Like just being conscious of it, just being aware of those bullet points and factors. I love that. I love that kind of like point system where it's just like, okay, on a scale from 1 to 10, where are we at with this? Okay, we're a 5. All right, what do we need to do to be a 10? Right?
Exactly.
And that it's like, you know, as with everything too, is, you know, it's fluid. You know, it's your relationship is not going to be a 10 out of 10 in every single category all the time. And then once you get it to be a 10 out of 10, it's just going to stay that way forever. So also like, you know, managing the expectations and realizing the fluidity of life and relationships, and that things happen and come in and out. But like you said, to kind of use it as that gauge, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of, or check-in point at any point in time.
Exactly. I actually created a spreadsheet with those factors, and I use it with my coaching clients. When people come to me and they want to experience more compersion, then oftentimes we'll use that spreadsheet to locate, you know, where are they really strong and where are their places where there's room for improvement. And then we can
I love that. But I'm a nerd that loves a good spreadsheet too. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, you have a spreadsheet?
The compersion spreadsheet.
I was like, I want a compersion spreadsheet.
Oh, I'll email it to you.
Perfect. Yes. Fantastic. Beautiful. Okay. Well, what, okay. So those are the relational factors. And then there was a third one, which was social, you said.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is about feeling like you are part of a community that validates your identity as a non-monogamous person. So oftentimes there's people who come from a monogamous background and then they open their relationship, but they don't have anyone to talk to and they don't have any community members that they can go to who will support them rather than shame them if they're like, hey, I have relationship issues. So that will also establish a really great fertile terrain for compersion, is to have good role models, maybe going to polyamorous potlucks and also going to or consuming different media like books and podcasts and shows like yours, you know, like things that will normalize non-monogamy for you so that you feel like, oh, everything that's coming up is normal and healthy and something that I just get to address. And it's a gift rather than like, oh, I'm feeling jealous. It's because of my relationship style. And that's what my community reflects to me. So a validation of your identity through belonging to community.
Absolutely. And I think that that is so huge and so important. And I'm sure that you get feedback about that all the time. I know that I do on my, you know, different social media platforms and from the show and stuff like that, where people are like, it's so good to hear other people talk about these things. It makes me feel normal. It makes me feel like seen and heard and validated. And yeah, and we are, we're social creatures. You know, that's like one of our questions, right? Like, do I belong? Do I fit in?
Mm-hmm,
right. Mm-hmm. And so being able to really answer that question and have a community of people where it's like, yes, like you do belong, you do fit in all of your glorious ways. You do.
Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay. So those are all of the kind of factors and things that you looked at. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what are some of the, are those like the main takeaways that you got from it? Or like, you know, what else did you see or gather?
So these are the main takeaways. You know, these are all the factors that promote compersion.
Right.
And the factors that hinder compersion are basically the opposite of each one of those factors that I named.
Right.
So, you know, not being on board with the ideology of non-monogamy, not having security within yourself or a lack of it, having a lack of security with your partners, a lack of positive regard towards your metamors, a lack of perceiving that there's good benefits to this, and also a lack of community. So it's very logical. So that is really the main takeaway. The second one was also, what is it? Like, what is compersion?
Yeah.
And that, do you want to take a break now before?
No, let's just, no, we're going to keep, thank you. Thank you for you're so thoughtful. I
know, like, we might need a commercial break, but
no, go for it. I want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. So really what constitutes compersion, I found that it is a mix of empathy and gratitude. Mm-hmm. So empathic joy being the crux of it, but also, you know, with a sense of gratitude, like, oh, I'm so happy that I get to be who I am, that you get to be who you are, that we're benefiting from this together.
Mm.
And also the idea that compersion is fluid, dynamic, and on a spectrum, so that it's not something that's static. It's not something that's like a on or off switch, and that you can experience it in different ways. Like I was touching on a little bit earlier, like the difference between a more cognitive, attitudinal compersion of like, okay, I see you having good relationships and I am supportive of this, but I'm not getting high from it, versus the more embodied compersion of like, oh, I want to know more. This is amazing. This is rocking my world. And, you know, it's all legitimate. And, it, you know, people will refer to either one of those things and everything in between as compersion. So it is a pretty fluid term.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and it sounds like it's really helpful to people of any, you know, whether you're like in the, as everything is a spectrum, you know, and the spectrum between monogamy and non-monogamy, you know, it sounds like this is really helpful on that whole spectrum as well, like regardless of whatever your, you know, prescribed relationship style is, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. An interesting fact about compersion is also that it is a version of mudita. And mudita mm-hmm. is a Sanskrit term used by Buddhists to refer to empathic joy, or sympathetic mm-hmm. joy, as they call it more specifically. But it's the idea that we're not separate, and that we don't live in a zero-sum game kind of world, that we can actually live in a paradigm where more for you is more for me, rather than more for mm-hmm. you is less for me. So it's not really a new idea, you know? Buddhists have been using that for, I don't know how long, but a long, long time.
Mm, that literally, like, whoo, gave me goosebumps and, like, melted my heart all at the same time. it's so, so true. And it lends so beautifully to my next question, which is, you know, how do you think that compersion relates to social change?
Oh, yes, I love that question.
Mm.
I am so excited about the fact that I think compersion can really play a key role in dismantling mononormativity, which is, you know, that kind of paradigm that we live in that says that monogamy is the way. It's the way to have a healthy, legitimate relationship. And the reason why I think compersion can play such a key role is mononormativity is based on the assumption that there's only jealousy as a legitimate answer to non-monogamy. It really assumes that non-monogamy is going to be harmful or hurtful to people, because of course jealousy is going to be the only possible response. And someone is going to get hurt. You know, you always hear that, that kind of phrase, that assumption. And when you introduce the concept and the reality and the documentation of compersion as another really real and legitimate response to non-monogamy, then it kind of cracks up the whole system. Like, it really can shake up the whole reason why we would think that monogamy is more healthy or superior, something that we should all aspire to.
Mm. Yeah. And I think that it really, I mean, I love that analogy that you just gave of just like, it cracks it up, where it's just like, mm-hmm. okay, well, you know, that's not always the case. That's not all, or it doesn't, that doesn't have to be the only reality.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like there is this other reality that's possible.
Right.
And it's called compersion. And not only is it possible, but it's actually happening for people right now. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like this theory that we're talking about, but it's an actual as lived experience of people right now. And I think that that's what's so beautiful about the work that you're doing is that it's not only, you know, shining light on what is compersion, but it's shining light on what's already happening and working and beautifully unfolding for people as they create the relationships that they want.
Mm-hmm. And then when I was doing the research for this project, I was conducting interviews with a really wide range of people, people from their early 20s to their mid 80s. And especially when I was interviewing the older generation, they were telling me things like, yes, I've been with my wife for 35 years and I never thought I was going to have such a wonderful marriage. But from the beginning, we kind of decided we were not going to do monogamy because neither of us wanted it. And we've been so in love ever since. And, you know, to hear like people have such rich stories of successful non-monogamous relationships, all kinds of different flavors of them. You know, I'm not just prioritizing people who have been in that format, but there's also people who are solo poly and relationship anarchists and all kinds of different flavors of people who are living a really rich life. And yeah, you can't deny that. And it is in complete opposition to a lot of common societal assumptions.
Yeah. Oh, that's so, so beautiful. Okay. And we are going to go on a break here, but this, again, just lends so perfectly to this next question, which is, you know, are there any stories of finding compersion in spite of all of the odds, you know, when you have these indications of these people who've been doing this for a long time, but like, what about in like, people are like, well, you don't understand my situation though. Like, right. So what are some stories that you've heard of that are like, in spite of all the odds, you know, compersion really is real and works?
Well, my favorite story was a couple that I interviewed. They had come to non-monogamy from one of them having an affair, which you would think is the worst possible way to come to non-monogamy. I mean, it did take a lot of healing and a lot of processing and a lot of re-education around what is commitment and what bonds us together. But after 2 years of really working on it, they are now both dating separately and together and experiencing a lot of compersion for each other. And that's a couple that had been together for 30 years, like they're in their mid 50s and they look, you know, like they would be the most traditional couple, and yet they have really reached compersion against all odds. So I think it's so available to people who really want it.
Oh my gosh. That just nourishes my soul. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And really, like, anybody who's listening, who's like, yeah, but it's like, it is possible for you. I hear your yeah, but, and it's totally, totally possible. Okay, we are going to go on a quick break. And then when we come back, I have some fun questions for you. And also, you know, we're going to wrap up the episode and you have a giveaway. And so I'm also really excited to announce what you're giving away as well. So all of that when we come back from our break.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
Excuse me, did you say Sanskrit? Yes, absolutely. Sanskrit is the language of the universe. The word Sanskrita means pure and perfectly formed. When we're still, open and receptive, we may hear a still small voice within. We feel a simple resonance with this universal language, and we just know that the voice is true. That inner voice speaks to us in a language that is always pure and perfectly formed. It's Sanskrita that speaks to us out of the silence. Sanskrit is also the name of a language that is found in dictionaries and great works of profound wisdom. It's the closest reflection of that perfect universal language. Study of this powerful language can lead us to an understanding of that perfect inner voice. Join me, Sara Main, on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover this true inner voice of the soul together. And check out my website, dhammayanti.store.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E-I-T-Y.com.
Oh, welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, where we are courageously expanding in love. Oh, my heart is so full with this episode. Thank you to Dr. Marie Thuyn for having this conversation with us about compersion. And I feel it. To whoever is joining us live right now, please rewatch. Please rewatch. Go back and listen to the whole thing. All right. Well, we're going to get into our last segment here, and I have some fun questions, and then we're going to do a giveaway because Dr. Marie has something to give away, which is super exciting. Okay. So fun question number one is, what does love mean to you?
Honestly, I think love means really wanting the best for someone.
Thank you. What do you hope that people take away from this episode?
I hope that they take away just the possibilities of compersion, and that there's many ways to experience it. None of them are wrong or less than. So that it is possible, but it's really unique to each person.
Beautiful. Thank you. And what's one action that people can take from listening today?
I would say reach out to more community. Is really like talk to other people about your relationship styles and questions. The more we talk about this stuff, the less shame we might have, the less fear we might have. So I don't think we can do our relationships as well without community around us.
Ooh, oh my gosh. No truer words have been spoken. Thank you. All right. So I am so excited to talk about our giveaway. Do you want to share about the giveaway, or I can read it? Oh, up to you.
Please go ahead.
Okay, beautiful. Well, Dr. Marie Thuyn has graciously offered up a free 30-minute exploratory coaching session. So if you have, you know, been really touched or moved by this episode, or if you're really stuck or stopped, like if you are one of those yeah, but people, this is your opportunity. If you are a yeah, but person, there is a phone number on the screen on the live right now. Call into that phone number and book a session. So what you're going to do is that you're going to get on the operator with the Transformation Network, and then I'm going to get you connected to Marie. So that's how it works. Okay. So it's the 800 number is not to Marie specifically. It is to the Transformation Network. And then say, I'm calling in for the Elizabeth Cunningham Show. I want the free giveaway of the free 30-minute exploratory coaching session with Dr. Marie Nguyen. And then they will get you in contact with me. I will get you in contact with Dr. Marie. So it's a little bit of a line of people, but you will get there and we will get that free session to you. And that is huge. That's amazing. And thank you so much for just giving away your time, your energy, your love, your passion. So yay to the amazing human being who is going to get that. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that's going on with you, like how people can reach you, you know, what else you're up to and doing? How can people, you know, work with you and be involved?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have two websites. One is specifically about compersion, and it's called whatiscompersion.com. So I invite everyone to go visit, read some blogs, listen to other interviews that I've done. And also you can download my entire dissertation, all 500 pages.
Oh my God, really?
Yes. I mean, that includes about 200 pages of interview transcripts with real people who experience compersion.
Wow.
So real stories. I mean, it's all anonymous, you know, to protect people's privacy, but it's really inspirational. So you can have a lot of resources. There's even like a resource list of books and articles about compersion that I compiled there. So it's really a chest of resources.
Wow.
There's also a link to my coaching, but if you want to learn more directly about my coaching practice, you can reach me at loveinsight-dating.com. So that's more about me, my story, how I do dating and relationship coaching in general. And I would love it if people drop me a note or also like follow me on Instagram. I'm at love_insight_dating.
Beautiful. Yeah. And all of that is in the show notes. So if you're listening, watching, if you just scroll down, or if you're watching on YouTube and you click on the Transformation Network link, then you'll see all of Dr. Marie's information. Everything that she just listed is just 1 to 2 clicks away for you. That's huge. That is that you have your dissertation on whatiscompersion.com. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Oh my gosh, I'm so interested. I'm gonna go read some of those like stories. That's brilliant. And that is, it's super inspiring because exactly like you said, you know, finding community, finding other people who also experience these things as well, who've gone through the trials, who've gone through the tribulations, who've had the challenges, who have made it to the other side. And that's always what I want to stress is that, you know, no matter what people's challenges are, is that there is an other side, even if it doesn't seem like it right now. You know, even if it doesn't seem like it right now, there's always an other side. And that's incredible that you offer so many resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if we can get to that other side a little faster, it's totally worth it.
Yeah.
And just have more fun while navigating the sometimes messy waters of relationships. Like it's not, you know, always possible to get, like you said, you know, to a point where it just feels all good, but the journey is so rich. And, you know, to look at it with a different lens, sometimes, you know, with a coach or with different pieces of writing, you know, that can help us kind of rewrite our narrative and find the beauty and the magic in it. That's invaluable.
It truly is, because really like what I believe, and I feel like you will be with me in this belief. But really what I believe is that having those supportive, caring, loving relationships, you know, having that feeling of compersion, that's the richness of life.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. To
Yeah.
Really, love is the richness of life, and compersion is a multiplicator or a multiplier. Sorry.
Well, that's what came here. Courageously expanding love and compersion.
Yes.
Absolutely. And learning about it and like learning how to express it and feel it and like overcome the challenges in feeling that. That is absolutely a way to courageously expand in love. Oh my gosh. Dr. Marie, thank you so much for being on the show today. I cannot tell you, this episode has absolutely touched my heart. And so I know that it's touched the hearts of the people who are listening and watching. So I just appreciate you so deeply for coming on the show and sharing with us what you've learned, you know, imparting some of your knowledge our way. And again, for that lucky, lucky person who is calling in right now for the giveaway of the 3 30-minute coaching session. Oh my gosh. You know, kudos to you as well. So thank you so much for coming on today. Thank you every single person for listening, for taking this in, for applying it to your life. Thank you so much to my listeners and viewers who are taking even just the small actions, because those count absolutely every single day in courageously expanding in love and really living a life and having the relationships that you love. Thank you so much. We'll be here every week, 3 p.m. Pacific time on the Transformation Network, Transformation Talk Radio. So love you. And in the next week, keep loving.
You have been listening to The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding Love with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Tune in live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where we shed light on relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Learn to love yourself and create the relationships you want. Connect with me at ElizabethAnnCunningham.com. That's ElizabethAnnCunningham.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.